You're listening to Radio Influence.
This is the Valor Hour, powered by the law offices of Ogle, Elrod, and Beryl on Radio Influence. Your weekly glimpse inside all things Valor Fights, and a look at what's going on in the rest of the MMA community. Here are your hosts, the president of Valor Fights, Tim Loy, and your color commentator, Casey Oxendine.
Welcome to the Valor Hour, a look into everything Valor Fights, as well as the headlines from combat sports across the world. Thanks for joining us, and remember to subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher. Now, if you are a fighter of any discipline, and that is what you do, then you need to know this team of fitness specialists. We're talking about Frankie's Body Shop. They specialize in strength and conditioning training for combat athletes looking to take their game to the next level. Everything from BJJ to MMA. For more information, contact them at 865-474-9145. Like them, friend them, follow them on Facebook and Instagram at Frankie's Body Shop or FBS Combat Strength and Conditioning. Remember, it's always Fight Camp. All right, this week we recap a big night of action from last weekend at VFW Fight Night. We also speak with a great lineup of guests, including Damir Fahabogovic, Brandon Bell, Ken Beverly, plus and Ava Mayi. Hold it, let me cut that because I didn't have Ava down here. Right, I didn't see him. Ava Mayi, plus a big round table discussion featuring this Saturday's Bellator MMA Monster Energy Series that is live at Bristol Motor Speedway, the Earhart Campground. I'm Casey Oxendine, joined by the president of Valor Fights, Tim Loy. Tim, Bellator is mere hours away. This is a project that you have worked tirelessly on and so deep involved in it. Talk about feeling here just hours before the event.
Well, you know, I'm excited. You know, we're almost there. We're just a few days away. We're going to get to see some awesome fights. If you're from this region, it is, nothing but dream fights. All four of the bouts are very competitive with guys that, anyone from our region should be familiar with. I think that it's going to be a great time and a really cool atmosphere there. The NASCAR fans all over the place. I think it's going to be, a little bit of a logistical headache the next couple of days, but I think it'll all be worth it Saturday when it all comes together.
Well, let's get this thing started. Big news, of course, from the Patton Crosswhite VFW in Bristol. Okay, it was big time in Bristol last week. It's really a big 2 weeks overall as we build up to this event. But last week was so much energy. It was a historic venue. And, of course, it was Bar Battles and Legacy Nightlife delivering the inaugural VFW Fight Night Under Siege. And it did not disappoint any of the expectations, I think, very much exceeded. We transformed a room into a fight club. And that's what we've really focused on doing.
Yeah, man, it was a lot of fun. I think that everyone was really pleased with the event. The venue was very happy. It ended up being a really cool setup, and it was a very exciting night of fights. You know, not only do we have a full house, a legit sellout, but on top of that, the fights were good. The fights were very competitive. We had some really bloody ones, some crazy finishes, and, overall, a very exciting night. We're excited to do it again.
All right, let's get this thing started off. Of course, we had a dark match that started at 5:30 and featured a couple of bantamweights at 135 pounds, and it was brought to us by Intimate Treasures. Of course, Austin Lewis, the independent out of Mountain City, taking on Dusty Little from North Knox Ishinru and Team NKI. And it turned out being a round one TKO, a great fight, but a tremendous showing for Dusty Little.
Yeah, you know, these early ones, it's kind of hard to tell what you're going to get. Austin Lewis made his second appearance out there and came up short again and seemed to be in pretty good spirits. Hopefully we'll see him back in there soon. Dusty Little came out and got the job done quick, landed an early head kick that kind of rattled him. and then went to work with the Strikes and made pretty quick work of him. So Dusty Little from NKI gets that win in his debut, and I believe they're saying he'll be moving down to 125 next for his next go around.
March, did you get a look at this thing?
Yeah, I got a little look at it. Dusty Little looked really good. I was pretty surprised. I figured Austin Lewis would have had more for him, but that head kick really changed the whole flow of the whole fight. And from there, it was ugly. And I think I got a little bit of work in that one, actually.
All right. Well, we kicked off live on Flow Combat starting at 6 p.m., and of course, our first matchup was under Muay Thai rules in the welterweight division. That's 147 for amateur Muay Thai. It featured Lane Evans out of the UFC gym in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, taking on Randall Austin out of Team Oxendine in Johnson City. A great matchup and a surprising battle there, especially in the first round.
Yeah, we had a late change, as we're subject to have on these shows, especially the amateur ones. And, you know, they... We had the original opponent, Devin Hankins. He pulled out late, and Evan stepped in on short notice, made the ride out from Murfreesboro on about 48 hours notice, and definitely put on a very game performance for his debut. And Randall Austin continues to shine, man. He's undefeated now, 2-0 with two finishes. He got the second round stoppage. And one of the brightest prospects in the Tri-Cities right now is Mr. Austin. So excited to see him have a quick turnaround here in just a few weeks at the Electric Cowboys show in September.
All right. Yeah, absolutely a great matchup. And I think both of these guys we're going to see a lot of them moving forward. But yes, Randall Austin, round two TKO. We move on to bout number three, brought to you by Cage Fights at the Cowboy. And it was in the lightweight division at 155. And it was Gunnar Moore out of Blaylock's IMB in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia, taking on Jake the Punisher Eisen, Mountain Empire MMA in Wise, Virginia. And we ended up with Gunnar Moore taking this thing by triangle, round one. A great finish for Gunnar Moore.
Yeah, Gunnar Moore makes his debut. Eisen came in a good bit overweight, if I can remember, but Moore went ahead and took it. Eisen drops to 0-2 now, and he'll look to make a quick turnaround. I think he'll be fighting Jalen Johnson. They're both 0-2, so somebody will be looking for a win in September. But good performance for Gunnar Moore. Makes pretty quick work of him.
All right, well, moving on. Bout number four, brought to you by Legacy Nightlife in the bantamweight division at 135 pounds. Roger Artrip, independent out of Richlands, Virginia, taking on James Cody out of Team Oxendine in Johnson City, Tennessee. And, of course, it was James Cody finishing with rear naked choke round one. Big finish there. Tim, your take?
You know, that was the Archer's first drop down to 135. We hadn't seen Cody before. I know that, you know, you had spoken that he was a blue belt already in jiu-jitsu, so had good grappling skills, and he showed them here. Archer drops to 1-6. And, you know, the drop to 135, I think, did suit him. He looked definitely more, you know, at home, you know, like where he needs to be, but got to brush up on those ground skills.
Absolutely. Great matchup. Moving on, bout number five, brought to you by Flow Combat. It was a catch weight at 175 pounds, and that was the one that that really stunned the audience. Of course, the mat turned red, stained red after this one. Jonathan Blackwell from Core One Fitness in Fort Oglethorpe taking on Austin Cox out of Elite Grappling in Lebanon, Virginia. I saw, Jonathan Blackwell with the round two TKO, but not without having a fight on his hand.
Man, that was really good. Both guys really showed a lot, honestly, that both they come out and straight in the middle, and Blackwell lands a head kick just immediately within 5 seconds or so, crushes Austin Cox's nose, blood's everywhere. And Cox does not quit. He actually ends up getting the takedown, spends the majority of the round in dominant position, or at least in Blackwell's guard. And I think Blackwell managed to escape and kind of turn it on at the end of the first round. Second round, Cox starting to fade. I'm sure having a hard time with that broken nose, breathing, got a little bit desperate on a shot. And then Blackwell started, you know, teeing off with uppercuts as he stuffed it. And that would have ended up giving me a little more color on my vest and shirt that night. right. Good win for Blackwell, though. He had his loss 2 weeks before he debuted in Rome and turns right back around and gets the win. And a good showing for Cox for the Elite Grappling, who is one of the up-and-coming teams. He showed a lot of heart.
Mark, we got blood here, so we got to get your insight.
There was a lot of it. That's a fact. That's probably one of the bloodier fights I've seen inside of the Bar Battles cage for sure. Well, the old Valor cage, but it was intense, and it happened so early, and it didn't stop. I mean, I used every tool in my arsenal, and finally got it to stop right before he got initially tapped. So.
All right. Great matchup. Moving on. Bout number 6 brought to you by Intimate Treasures, a lightweight matchup at 155 pounds. And it was Jordan Dodd, the independent out of Chattanooga, Tennessee, taking on Greg Hopkins out of the Mad Gym in Ringgold, Georgia. And I will say this going into it. These are two Georgia boys. Jordan Dodd's not a Georgia boy, but he's right over the line there. And, you know, right there close to Fort Oglethorpe. So, you know, it was guys in a different region. But, man, they probably had the biggest heat of the night going into it. I'll say before I hand it off, it would be Greg Hopkins that takes it round 2 TKO. But it was a great fight.
Yeah, those guys, Hopkins, he's a real nice guy. He doesn't talk a whole lot, but Dodd was definitely confident coming into it. He talked a little bit, and they went at it, man. And Dodd didn't have a bad showing. You know, he looked good. He looked pretty solid, certainly for an independent. And he had Dakota Pell there with him, so you could see he had at least someone that had been, training and cornering him. Hopkins is a guy that's kind of come back out of nowhere. He hasn't fought in 7 years, comes back to Rome, gets a win there, and now gets a win here. Goes to 3-0 now, and we'll talk a little bit more about what he's got coming up, I guess, after we talk about this next fight, because they kind of tie together. But, congrats to Greg Hopkins, moves to 3-0, kind of has that label as a wrestler, with a pretty decorated wrestling background, but, man, he's been boxing guys' ears off.
Undoubtedly. Moving on, bout number 7, the Valor Hour, presented by the Valor Hour. Catch weight at 165 pounds, and this was the last-minute replacement. Billy Two-Tone Combs, the independent out of Mountain City, Tennessee, and this is a guy that's had a ton of fights, 21 fights leading into this, taking on Paco Maris, who's had his share of fights as well, 7-6. Fighting out of Team Oxen down in Johnson City, Tennessee. A great matchup by two entertaining fighters.
Yeah, props to Billy. First off, he took that fight on, I would guess, probably, 4 or 5 hours notice. He always stays ready with current blood work, and he was there on the cage crew and stepped up when Paulo Chino stiffed us on the day of the show. So props to him, props to Paco at the same time. You know, he had an opponent change. Billy was bigger. You know, Billy definitely outweighed him there on fight day. But, Paco was used tricky striking and ended up landing a big body kick that just really put the hurt on Billy, and it was all she wrote from there. So Paco moves on to 8-6, and I guess we can give a little scoop. We haven't announced this yet, but coming up for September 8th, that's going to set up the winner of our last two fights we just spoke about, actually, for the Bar Battles Welterweight Championship. It'll be Paco Maris taking on Greg Hopkins in a fight that should be really good, I think. It's two guys that do have ground skills, but have both been showing their striking skills. So I think no matter where this fight goes, both guys are pretty able.
All right. Well, moving on. Bout number 8 brought to us by Cage Fights at the Cowboy, heavyweight matchup at 265. And I will say possibly the unicorn of the night. That's the one that you didn't know if you were going to see at all. You were hoping that it materialized, and it did indeed. Dustin Johnson out of Death Row MMA in Mount Eagle, Tennessee, taking on Garrett Fosdick, 5-1 out of Absolute Jiu-Jitsu in Bristol, Tennessee. Big local favorite in Garrett Fosdick, and he's not an easy one to match, Tim.
No. Fosdick's probably one of the very, very toughest amateurs that we've got to match around here. In my opinion, one of the top two amateurs in the Southeast at heavyweight, with him and Billy Swanson. So, very tough. Dustin Johnson steps up. His brother Tim Johnson originally supposed to take the fight. He has to pull, and so we moved the card around a little bit. And Dustin Johnson stepped up. Was kind of coming in by the skin of our teeth as far as his arrival time, but we got him there in time, and he put on a valiant effort. Actually, defended the takedown a lot better than probably most thought he would for the first little bit. At the end, Fosdick got it, and he laid in some brutal knees to the body and got that finish by TKO by knees to the body, I think, in the first.
Fozzie moving on to 6-1, and he truly is one of the top heavyweights in the region. Him and Billy, and a lot of people don't know this, but they wrestled together at King College. They're collegiate All-Americans, both of them. And it's just funny that they've always been, kind of they're the two top guys, and it's all rooted right there in Bristol. Who knows if they'll ever face each other. That may happen for the money. They've both said that. But as of right now, they're on their own paths. So I think it's a great fight. Moving on, Bar Battles, brought to you by Bar Battles, a matchup in the lightweight division at 155 pounds. Chase Olson out of Core One Fitness in Fort Oglethorpe taking on EJ Hunt out of KMAA in Knoxville, Tennessee. And this one was one that really caught my eye. I've been around for a long time, and I've seen a lot of different types of finishes. Very seldom do you see that standing knockout where the guy, he's standing, he never hits the ground, but you know he's out. He takes a hard shot. It's EJ Hunt taking a hard shot there in the first. Chase Olson with the win there in the first by, I guess, knockout, or was it TKO? But it was interesting because EJ came out really strong initially. But, as with fighting, if you get caught on the button, there it is.
Yeah, it was only 25 seconds long, so there wasn't a whole lot you could tell from either guy. But, in one of those exchanges, Olsen lands, puts it right on the button, and EJ Hunt is outstanding. Not one word, two. he was out cold while standing up. And as Casey mentioned, very rare occurrence that you see that. But the referee steps in, and as he should have, and protects him from further damage. And Chase Olsen evens his record up to 1-1, getting ready to go back to Chattanooga in October and probably get ready to see him again.
Absolutely. Moving on to bout number 9. It was brought to us by Intimate Treasures as well. A lightweight matchup at 155 pounds. Chris Courtner, an independent out of Mountain City, Tennessee, taking on Tanner Perry, the debut out of Champions MMA in Bristol, Tennessee. And, of course, that was the debut for the entire team of Champions MMA, of course, led by Lynn Cook, a legendary fighter in this region. And, Tim, it was a great matchup. Tanner Perry, he gets the win by RNC in round 1. Your take?
That was one of those fights where we just didn't really know what we were going to see with the first ever competitor coming out of Champions.
I'm sorry, armbar.
It was armbar. It was an armbar, yeah. So Tanner Perry gets that armbar. It's he being the first student of Lynn Cook's to compete out, he kind of broke their cherry in that regard. So now, Champions is on the scene, and Chris Courtner takes another quick loss there by submission, and he'll need to shore up that submission game there. He's a guy that comes in intense, and he looks like he's ready to go, and he's fired up, maybe next time I want to get him somebody that'll stand and strike with him, and give him some time to groom that ground game.
All right. Moving on, bout number 10. Brought to you by 4G Custom Design. It was in the welterweight division at 170 pounds. Sammy Hester, the debut out of Shield Systems in Knoxville, Tennessee, taking on Pat Johnson out of Local Legends in Morristown, Tennessee. Sammy Hester, he gets the win by submission in round 1. Talk about this matchup.
Yeah, it was a triangle, and it was actually the submission of the night, I believe. And, Pat Johnson came in overweight. Sammy didn't hesitate in accepting the fight regardless. One of those young bucks coming out of Shield Systems, that's the future right there. That kid is going to be really good. Pat Johnson drops to 1-2, probably going to take some time off from what I gather to get his training up and help his brother get ready for his next fights, and we'll see what happens from there.
All right, advancing on. Bout number 11, brought to you by Intimate Treasures. In the middleweight division, 185, very interesting matchup. Jason Chavis, the independent out of Knoxville, Tennessee, but a legendary guy. Don't let independent fool you. Taking on Caleb Langford out of Elite Grappling in Lebanon, Virginia. Jason Chavis takes the unanimous decision victory here. but not without a fight. This thing was back and forth and very highly contested. Plus, you had the backflips.
Yeah, man, that was really cool. Double backflips at the end from those guys. Two studs, you know, and we kind of made the references. This is kind of your old school versus new school here. Is Langford's a young buck coming out of that elite grappling group. As Chavis has been around forever. He's been around a long time. And, man, it was good. It was very competitive. I think even myself coming into that fight, I felt like Langford may just be a little outgunned this early in his career against a guy with that much experience and that much of an athlete and just so good in like Chavis is. But man, he hung right there with him. That was a great fight. Chavis ends up getting the unanimous decision win, but it was very close. And honestly, Langford comes out of this thing with his stock rising just as much as Chavis's.
Undoubtedly. And you know, Chavis is a guy that again has been around for a long time, and he's a different kind of character. You know, he has kind of lived it all. And he even said it in his post-fight interview. It's really crazy. You know, he's like, you know, he was fortunate enough to be blessed with a very wealthy set of parents. Of course, John Chavis, Coach John Chavis, you know, who needs no introduction. And, you know, but the thing is that you've seen kind of an emotional, like, journey for him as well, and you saw it in him there, man. He truly is there because he wants to be there.
Yeah,
and he wants that experience. You can tell he needs that experience. It's very interesting to follow Jason. I've known him for a lot of years, and so to see him continue that journey is always fun to watch.
7-0 now.
Yes, 7-0, undefeated, and he's always different. You know, yeah. He's just a different kind of guy, and has a different swagger to him when he's inside the cage. Moving on to bout number 12, presented by the Valor Hour, and it was in the bantamweight division at 135 pounds. And this was one that was highly anticipated. Aaron Scrappy Dumillaway, the independent out of Morristown, Tennessee, taking on Daquan Sutton, the independent out of Morristown, Tennessee, as well. One Morristown guy had to win here, and these guys did not go into this thing liking each other too much.
Yeah, man, Milloway called for this one. He asked for Sutton specifically. Sutton was quick to accept, and honestly, you know, I felt like Milloway was going to give him trouble potentially on the ground, because Milloway is a guy that, you know, he's sporadic in how often he competes, but when he fights, you know, he's got a decent little ground game and a pretty good motor. And I thought he might could get Sutton down and make it tough for him. But man, Sutton's hands looked great. His takedown defense was good, and improves to 3-1. And he's just now coming up on his 1-year anniversary of even fighting in September.
All right, great matchup there. Moving on to bout number 13, presented by Bar Battles. And it was a featherweight matchup at 145 pounds. Matthew Dotson out of Tech MMA in Blacksburg, Virginia, taking on Stone Cold Beverly, Viper Pitt, in Hazard, Kentucky. And this was one that was, you know, right up there at the top. That was our feature bout for a reason. Matthew Dotson with a lot of experience coming from a very, very tough team. But Stone Beverly is just – he's something else, man. He's one of those kids who is so aggressive, and he'll hit you from all angles. It's not one attack. It's every facet of mixed martial arts, and he's such a youngster.
Exactly. He's such a youngster that we just really – are still learning what he's capable of and what, you know, what is, how much is too much just yet for him. And, you know, to only be 18 years old, he comes into this fight 3-1, all of his fights this year. Dotson is a guy that has got lots more experience, double the amount of fights as him, coming from a great team. We just really didn't know what to kind of expect out of Dotson because he hadn't fought for us, but we knew that he was going to be, you know, like I said, from a solid team. He'd already had 8 fights, so we knew he'd be a tough test. But nah, man, Stone was dominant, and he was just way too much. And after the first, Dotson didn't want to do it anymore. And so Stone Beverly improves to 4-1.
All right. A big move there. And of course, Slow Combat with an article on Stone Beverly as one of the top prospects in the United States. Moving on to bout number 14, which was our co-main event of the evening, brought to you by Advocare Rep Core Bentley. And it was in the middleweight division at 185 pounds. And it was Christian Caudill out of Team Fast and Cobra, Virginia, taking on Chris Buttrey out of Local Legends and Temple Boxing in Rogersville, Tennessee. Chris Buttrey, he gets the win by submission in round 2, but what a fight.
Yeah, that one was a really fun one. That ended up getting fight of the night, and it kind of went – like kind of how we all realized it probably could go. You know, Cotto was in Buttry's ass like the whole first round, just came out of House of Fire and was absolutely taking it to him. Buttry was completely on the defensive and kind of started to get his, you know, get his wits about him towards the end of the round and settle things in. Second round, Cotto completely begins to gas and Buttry turns it on and gets that armbar and gets the win. Not a bad showing for Cotto, though. I like to see him back. And Buttry was actually 2-0 coming into that, so he's 3-0 now. And we'll be talking about a potential title fight for him.
Yeah, definitely. Cotto, a terrifying persona standing across from you in the cage. The guy was chomping at the bit the whole time. And even to watch Chris Buttry deal with that was a huge testament that he was able to Mark, did you want to talk? Are you What was that?
Mark's over here talking about how scary these guys are.
Oh, I got you. I got you. Here we go.
I just wanted to say that on the night of weigh-ins, between Caleb Lansford and Chris Buttry, I wasn't sure who to send home first to go, man, just disappear, man. This is going to end bad. And, you know, both of them had great showings. You know, Buttry pulling out the win, it was great. It just shows how athletic and young and hungry he is. And, you know, him improving to 3-0 is a huge deal. But, man, I was scared for Lansford. I'm not gonna lie.
All right. Well, moving on to our main event, brought to you by 4G Custom Designs. And it was in the flyweight division at 125 pounds women's mixed martial arts as Whitney Piles out of Tech MMA in Blacksburg, Virginia, took on Christina Roadhouse Ricker out of KMAA in Knoxville, Tennessee. What a battle it was. Of course, Whitney Piles taking home the unanimous decision victory, but again, not without a war.
Yeah, it was a really good fight. Whitney Piles kind of emerged as a future star there. Ricker in the fight the whole time, but Piles just so aggressive and her striking was so good. Ricker was kind of on the defense the whole time. The Piles is just very aggressive and, you know, great fight though. Again, you know, Ricker didn't lose much stock there. I think more than anything, Piles has just kind of emerged as a future star.
And we're seeing a much more seasoned roster of this WMMA talent showing up both on Bar Battles and in the Valor Fights organization. And I think it's a true testament to not only these women and competitors, but also to the program, you know, the acceptance of these female athletes, and it's deserving because they train very hard and they prepare well, and oftentimes they have that chip on their shoulder as well to outperform the men, and that's why this one was the main event of the evening. Now that closes out the inaugural VFW Fight Night Under Siege. And that was it for Bellator. Of course, Legacy Night Live, we're going to see Brandon Watts. He's going to move on, and he's going to have the Masquerade Ball here at Halloween, and that's big. That's what's next for Legacy Night Live. For Bar Battles, it's on to the Electric Cowboy.
That's right.
And that's going to be September 8th, and it's going to be another amazing show from the brand. Now, without further ado, we're going to kind of cut the news short, and we're going to move right on into our interviews. We are joined by Brandon Bell, 8-6 professional mixed martial artist who prepares to make his Bellator debut this Saturday night at the Bristol Motor Speedway as part of the Monster Energy Series. Brandon, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you all for having me.
Well, always a pleasure, Brandon. We are excited for this weekend. We're just a few days away. You're making your Bellator debut. It's going to be at the Bristol Motor Speedway, part of the Monster Energy Series. And, man, there's going to be quite a crowd out there. I would have to imagine the biggest crowd that any of you guys have fought in front of yet. You know, how exciting is it? This, you know, this whole, we spoke earlier today and was talking about how there's so much more leading up to this than what, you know, you're used to with just a regional event. Talk a little bit about that and, you know, just kind of this whole new experience of, you know, main eventing on a large stage like this.
I'm just excited to get the opportunity finally after doing mixed martial arts for 10, 12 years. Minus that stint when I took a break when I was working in the coal mines there for a little while. But I'm just excited because, a lot of people, when I first started doing mixed martial arts, I told everybody, I was like, you know, I want to try to make a run at it. And then, you know, I got discouraged and I quit for a little while and I started working in the mines. And, you know, when I got laid off, somebody was all like, well, you know, you were really good at it. So I had a few couple years left, a few good years left. So I decided, well, you know, I just make a run for it. And then when I, you know, started fighting again, everybody's all like, well, you know, I come from a small town. They're like, you're never going to make it. You're never going to do this. You're never going to do that. And I'm like, how do you know? You ain't me. So I'm just excited to be able to represent my small town and show people that around here that, you know, you don't listen to the naysayers. And if you really want to grind hard enough and make enough sacrifice for what you really believe in, what you're, you know, what your dreams are, then, you know, anything is possible. I think that if you work hard enough for it, there's no substitute for work, good work ethic, good hard grinding work ethic.
You know, this is Casey. I recall you, Brandon, like way back in the day. The first interaction I really had with you is when you fought Dustin Walden the first time. And of course, you were a lot smaller then, completely different physique. But I'll be truthful with you, you know, being there in that old warrior scene, you know, I saw you more. You were an independent fighter. You were, you know, a tough guy, but more of a gatekeeper type of fighter. You know, you wouldn't have expected that really just you and Nate Jolly are really the only two from that classic era that have now made Bellator. It's a really big deal. I don't know if Junie had ever done it, but, you know, he did Ultimate Fighter and stuff. But I think that's a really a testament, you know, because it was really surprising when I heard you were back, you were continuing to fight, and you were amassing this record, and here lately looking very, very good. It looks like that you've cleaned everything up. So, you know, just talk about that evolution a little bit. You know, talk about way back in the day where, you know, it was the old west of Warrior FC, and if you ever really thought that you would be here, you know, fighting for Bellator one day.
Oh, yeah. Well, like when we first started, you know, back in the day, before it was sanctioned, when we first started fighting, it was show up and fight. I had no prior fight knowledge, you know what I mean? I had came from Maine playing basketball at Eastern Maine Community College, the Division III. I got expelled from college, and so I ended up moving back to Tennessee, originally from Harlan, but I had moved to Tennessee, and all I know is that my buddy was all like, hey, there's cage fighting now in Harlan, would you like to do it? He's like, it's really fun. I said, well, what is there to it? He's like, just go and fight. And I was like, well, I can do that. I like to fight. And, you know, I went and I done it. And, you know, I won my first one and then I was hooked and then I lost a bunch until I had moved back to Harlan. I started training at Brewer's Gym and then I went through a whole series of different training gyms, just trying to push through. I ended my amateur record with a 17-7 record after losing, winning my first one and then losing four in a row. Then when I turned pro, I actually turned pro, and then that's about the time that it was becoming sanctioned, and then everything changed. I've just never thought that I knew that I was going to, I knew that I had the determination to push through. Never thought that I would, I always wanted to dream big, because if you're going to dream, might as well dream big and go and try to do it. But, you know, a lot has changed. Cause I remember back when I was younger, I remember one night I fought three times in one night before, you know, now I can't do that because I'm kind of old and, you know, after one fight, I can't move right for 2 weeks. But just coming. Go ahead.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. No, finish your thought there.
But, you know, after my stint, when I took that time off and I came back in 2014, I had fought some in Indiana, and some of my fights is not on my record. But, you know, my official record was 1-3. But since I've came back and I joined Iron Lock MMA, which is with Jason Coomer, and he really cleaned up my jiu-jitsu and my wrestling. I've since 2014, since I've came back, I'm 6-3 with, you know, one loss by torn bicep and two losses. One to Matt Metz, which is 3-3, trains in Las Vegas, and one to, you know, one of the pound for pound best in state of Kentucky with Nathan Maness as 6-0. Which, you know, I my hats off to anybody that beats me, because when I train hard, I come prepared and I'm come ready. But since I really started joining different gyms, and I finally found myself a really good home with Dustin Walden and Dustin Long and Ian Lawler at Adversity Training Center, you know, and Dustin Long and Dustin Walden at D3, they've really helped me open my horizon and expand my grasp as a professional fighter, from just being a wrestler to learning how to set everything up and learning more. Like when Adam Townsend helped me a lot just with my wrestling, with filling in the gaps that I didn't know. Like a lot of stuff, there was a lot of stuff when I changed gyms from Iron Lock, because I had just plateaued there. And when I changed gyms from Iron Lock to D Evil and then to D3, and then I went going over to Adversity with Ian, they filled in all these gaps that I didn't know I had. And you know, I already knew I was strong and I knew my wrestling was solid, but ever since I've been with them, it's just become way better. I know how to tie my striking in with my wrestling. My Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu has gotten phenomenal. I started doing Gi Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu here locally at a Howard Mixed Martial Arts. And then me learning how to transition my powerlifting that, you know, I had started doing when I was in the coal mines over to transition over to where it helps me equally in my mixed martial arts. You know, it's just, everything is just an evolution, and I'm just the best that I've ever been. And every time I fight and every time I train, every training camp, I seem to get better and better and better as I get older.
Well, you know, speaking of which, you know, there's no doubt you've been on a hot streak and really have turned your game around here, like you were saying, over the past couple of years. Going into this weekend, you face, you know, one of the toughest guys you faced yet, and it's kind of a Kentucky dream match. Ben Sargent, undefeated guy out of Kentucky also, and this is a fight that I know that has been talked about for years, so we're really cool to be able to, you know, finally make it happen on a really cool stage here. Ben is one of those polarizing guys, as you know very well. You kind of either love him or hate him. It's hard to be in between with Ben. He's gone on the record, you know, on some interviews here just, you know, in the past week or so. I know Jason Floyd had one with him, and he did another for someone else, and you know, you've been accused essentially by Ben of doing performance enhancers, of doing steroids, and you know, I kind of wanted to let you, you know, address that, and then even you know, give us your thoughts on that and clear the air, so to speak, if there's air to be cleared.
Well, see, Ben, I was on YouTube looking at some of his fights, and this interview popped up with this guy for like MMA Weekly or something like that. And I noticed that Ben's on there being Ben, you know. Then he said something about, number one, he said me being on steroids because I used to fight 135. Number one, I never fought 135. I fought 145. And my whole amateur career, I fought 55 and 70 because I walked around at 67. And, you know, just because he doesn't like to cut weight doesn't mean that everybody else is, you know, all shallow-minded and pussified to where they don't want to overcome adversity and put their body through what it has to take in order to get to the best weight class that you need to be in. I never fought 35. I took that stint from 2000. I fought Dustin Walden in 2010, and then I took very few fights in between in Indiana until I got laid off in the coal mines in 2013. Now, from 2009 to 2013, I started doing powerlifting. I did less cardio. I did more powerlifting. So what happened was my body filled out more. You know, I didn't really used to lift a lot. I used to lift weights when I was in the amateur scene and I was smaller. But, you know, powerlifting took me to a next level of strength and filled my body out. So over that time of just eating and lifting, I gained weight, which is not much more weight because in 2008, my walk around weight was 167. Now my walk around weight is about 30 pounds more. But as everybody knows, as you get older, you gain weight. You know, not everybody can be, not everybody can have that, that sleek physique that they did when they was 20 and 21, you know, as people get older, even as they continuously exercise and try to stay in better shape, they gain weight because of age. So all he wants to do is just talk. He's talking about he's more, he's talking about he's more durable than me. There's nobody. I guarantee there is nobody more durable than me. When it's when I'm in the cage, that's what there is. It's go. I do not care what happens to my body. All I'm looking for is the W. I'm going to push forward, and then I will. And like I told Tim earlier, I said I will suffer the repercussions of the fight afterwards. As long as I get in there and I give 110%, I will put my body through hell to get the W. And you know, he's talking about durability. This man has cherry picked every one of his fights, every single one. How does he know that how durable he is when he's never fought anybody worth fighting? He's never fought a fighter. Let's see here. His last three fights, 0-6, 0-0, 3-7. Really? So you're saying you're a phenomenal fighter because you fought an 0-6, an 0-0, and a 3-7. His only seven fights accumulate to 16 wins and 30 losses. If you put all my fights together, 67 wins, 40 losses, I know I've been put through the ringer. I've been tested. There is nothing in this entire world that this little boy that has to live off his mommy is going to be able to show me to put me through anything that I have not seen before. Even if you just go, let's say, because I've had more fights. Let's say you go to my last seven fights, 24 wins, 4 losses. Let's say if you just go my last three fights, still 7-6, with me fighting some of the best contenders in the state. I fought Taylor Ruskin. I fought Nathan Maness. I fought Matt Metz. I fought Jason King, which everybody, all these people that everybody thought that was just going to destroy me. And I have to tell you this, I rise to adversity. I welcome it because, you know, adversity lets you pinpoint to see who you are as a person. It shows you who you are as a man, not as a little boy. I broke my back in the coal mine for 10 years, for 6 years, for 10 hours a day, 12 hours a day. Sometimes I remember this one week we worked 16 hour shifts all week because the top was falling in. Coming from a man that never had a real job, get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, go underground and break your back, job. He wants to scream steroids because I have a strong back. Oh, well. Wants to say that I'm all muscle, no technique. Yeah, it's easy. It's going to be kind of hard for him to say that. I'm going to be talking to him the whole time that I'm breaking his face with my fist and be like, how about this for technique? Does it take technique for me to fucking smash my fist through your pretty face? I'm going to break his face so bad that his girlfriend's going to leave him, and then there's nobody ever going to mistake him for Matthew McConaughey, because all he's going to look like is a special ed student.
Okay. Wow. All right. Well, man, I'll tell you what, this is talking, you know, that's some heat going into a big event. I mean, it's the biggest event ever in Tri-Cities MMA history. And really it's a monumental moment in Tennessee mixed martial arts as a whole, being at the racetrack. You're going to be the main event, the headliner. Real quick, go ahead and give your shout outs. And of course, we need to hear your social media plugs and so forth, where we can find you.
Yeah, you can hit me up on, I don't really know, hit me up, Brandon Bell, on Facebook, or my Twitter is Bells148. I like to give a shout out to to all my sponsors, Odie's Gym and Family Fitness on 119, where I do all my powerlifting, I do all my conditioning. Ronnie McKenna Jackson for always being there. Of course, D3 Elite and D Evil and Mixed Martial Arts with Dustin Walden, Dustin Long, for always having me and making me feel welcome, and always trying to help me better myself. Ian Lawler with Adversity Training Centers for always having me up and always being hospitable to me, and always letting me train no matter when. Howard Family Martial Arts for letting me come and do gi work, and he's actually the guy that convinced me to do the gi. And there's also Harlan Vapor Shops, which is one of my paid sponsors through Harlan. Tri-State Reinforcing Incorporated, their construction company, and Queen Diva Pageants, which my daughter competes in their beauty pageant. Just want to thank all them for really sticking next to me. And my training group on Sundays with Timmy Engel with Battalion Fight Squad. That's about it.
Brandon Bell returns to action and makes history this Saturday night at Bellator MMA, the Monster Energy Series, and that is at the Bristol Motor Speedway this Saturday. You are the headliner. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, Brandon.
Thank you for having me. It's always an honor.
We are joined by Damir Farhatbegovic, 3-1 professional, who is preparing to make his Bellator debut this Saturday night at the Bristol Motor Speedway. We're talking about the Monster Energy Series. Damir, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thank you for having me. Always a pleasure.
Well, man, it's almost here. We're just 3 days away at this point from throwing down. It'll be your first time in the Bellator cage. Well-deserved, long time coming, I think, getting a look here like this in a fight that, you know, that we've talked about doing for a couple years now. I never could get it to happen, but, you know, you're going to be fighting Jonathan Pierce in a fight that a lot of us are really excited for. This is one that, you know, when Rich Chow asked for exciting fight, he said, you know, I want to have exciting fights no matter what. Then, you know, I knew that, you know, this is one that we really wanted to make because there's really a very, you know, next to no chance that this could be a dull fight. What are your thoughts on the matchup?
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be a second of disappointment if you're watching that fight. It's going to be full of fireworks. This is a huge opportunity, you know, fighting for Bellator in front of Rich Chow and the higher-ups of Bellator. You know, you got to put on a show, maybe, like, even hope for a contract after that fight, you know. But, yeah, like you said, this fight was meant to happen a few times, but it kind of fell through and it's finally happening. I think a lot of the MMA fans in the Southeast have been hoping for this fight, and they're finally going to get it.
Hey, Dahmer, what are you looking forward to the most this weekend? You're going to the race afterwards?
I'm looking forward to my fight, you know, getting that done. finally being able to eat, you know, and all that. But I'm right now just focused 100% on the fight. I don't care about the races. I don't care about anything else going on that day other than me and that fight. I'm fully focused. I had a tough training camp out in Arizona, the toughest training camp I've ever had. I'm well prepared physically as well as mentally.
Well, you know, the last time out, had a great first round against Luis Pena, ended up fading in the second round. So, you know, that's something that one has to imagine. You've really paid a lot of attention to your cardio this time, making sure you're in tip-top shape out there, especially training in Arizona. Anything else you've tweaked up? And also give your thoughts a little bit on the actual matchup itself. You know, where do you think you're better? You know, on paper, JP, a decorated wrestler, a guy that, you know, one would have to imagine would have the advantage in wrestling, but you're striking is so good, and his striking is coming up, and he's been susceptible to submissions here lately, and you've got good jiu-jitsu. So just, you know, kind of break it down. How do you see you guys kind of measuring up?
Yeah, so the Luis Pena fight still haunts me to this day, you know. Every now and again I'll think about it, and, you know, it comes to my mind when I'm training, you know. I don't want to be in that kind of shape going into a fight ever again, and that's exactly what I did. When I first flew out to Arizona, I started training, worked especially one-on-one with the strength and conditioning coach over there just about every day, every other day, you know. So I don't think conditioning is going to be a problem for this fight. As far as the fight with Jonathan goes, he's a tough guy. We know that. He's definitely going to bring it to the table. You know, he's got good scrambling, kind of funk wrestling and stuff that kind of wears guys down. But, you know, I think it's going to be a stand-up fight most of the fight. That's where I'd like to keep it. That's what I'm going to try to. But, yeah, expect fireworks for this fight.
All right. Well, real quick, anything else you wanted to throw out there? Of course, give your shout-outs where they're due, all the love, the people that help you get where you're at. And then also, we need your social media plugs. There's going to be a lot of attention on you this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. So first, shout out to everyone out in Arizona at the MMA lab, all my training partners, all the guys that helped me improve. by 1%, you know, every day. John Crouch, Benson Henderson, a couple of good guys, you know, that helped me throughout this camp. Everyone at Shield Systems, Ben, Scott, you know, all of them, you know, they've always been with me throughout. Shout out to my sponsor, Ogle Elrod Grill. You know, not only are they supporting me, but you guys know very well that how much they support the MMA scene down here in the Southeast. And yeah, you can follow me on Instagram if you want, officially Demir, Snapchat, Demir Official. Yeah, that's about it.
Demir Farhadbegovic makes history as part of the very first Bristol Motor Speedway Bellator MMA, and it goes down this Saturday night. It is the biggest thing, the hottest ticket, and it's absolutely free. Everybody come out. Demir, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure being on here.
We are joined by Ava Mayi, 4-1 mixed martial arts competitor, who prepares this Saturday night to be a part of the big Bellator MMA Monster Energy Series event. It's the first time in the Tri-Cities ever, and it's making history. Ava, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Yes, sir. Thank you all.
Always a pleasure to talk to you, my man. As you know, one of my favorite guys out there. You have kind of burst on the scene over the past year and a half, and have been taking on tough guys and knocking them out, man, finishing them off. So, you know, last time we saw you out, we didn't get to end up competing in the tournament. But before that, you beat Ace Hill, who was a tough competitor in Nashville. But it's been now since February, I believe, since you last fought. Is that right?
Yeah, it was that one, and then the finals, I fought Ben Brown.
You did in April, didn't you? You fought in April.
Yeah.
I forgot all about that. So you've already had two fights this year. Two pretty tough fights against two, you know, good athletes. Talk a little bit about the match coming up this weekend. You know, it'll be at 145 against Preston Schick, who's undefeated, 6-0. They told us that we could do one amateur fight, and so we really wanted to make sure that we were using a couple guys that, you know, have been with Valor and have really shined and deserved it. And so we knew that this would be an exciting one. And so, you know, just talk a bit about the matchup. I think that you know, on paper, Preston looks to have a bit of a size advantage, being that he's always kind of fought at 45 and you fought at 35 from time to time. But that being said, you know, does it feel, you know, how are you feeling not having to make that bad cut as well to 35 and putting your body through that? You should be, I would think, feeling pretty solid right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The cut should be really easy. You know, 35 was a really hard cut, and I had to really sacrifice a lot to make it. But 45 is my home. And about the size advantage, I don't really think it's going to come into play too much, because I do think I'm thicker than him. While he is a little lanky, he's like, what, 6 foot? But, you know, you guys made the right choice. We're two young, hungry up-and-comers. We're going at it. You know, we're both around the same age, and we both could turn pro soon. So we're at that high level as amateurs. So you got the two best amateurs in all of Valor fighting.
Well, you know, another thing, I wouldn't disagree with you there. And I also think that, you know, both of you guys are very close to going. And honestly, you know, people that don't know that this is an amateur fight won't be able to tell that this is an amateur fight. You know, this is one of those high level amateur fights that you won't really be able to tell the difference. Talk a little bit about training leading up to it. I know you're training with half of the main event as well for this camp, Ben Sargent. We talked to his opponent, Brandon Bell, just earlier tonight. So, you know, talk a little about training leading up and maybe give a little prediction for the main event.
Yeah, I heard Brandon was cutting into my interview time, taking a sweet time, huh? But that's all good, though. You know, Sargent got something for him. But, yeah, you know, like, I train at the best gym in Tennessee. You know, National MMA, we have world champions in jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai, Team Sean Hammond's jiu-jitsu, Sipala Muay Thai, Team Lance Patrick MMA. We're well-rounded everywhere. We really don't have any weaknesses. Any martial arts, you know, that's available to teach, we have it. So, you know, my team, they've done a good job at breaking Preston down and, you know, looking at his tendencies and what he likes to do in there and turning them into drills for me, you know. So I'm blessed to be, you know, involved with such a great team in National MMA.
Well, great. Ava, thank you so much. I wanted to say also, of course, you know, I work with Preston, and I was very, very happy that the two of you got this fight. I think that when you're talking, especially when you're talking about amateur mixed martial arts, I don't know that there is, you know, you have a lot of pros fighting Bellator, but how many amateurs actually get to test themselves under those lights? And it's a really big deal, and I'm happy to see it happening. And of course, you know, everybody comes out there to fight, but it's, I think it's a great showcase, and I'm very proud, and I'm happy to have, you know, you as an opponent. So real quick, go ahead and give any shout outs you need to, and also, social media plugs, where we can find you, so forth. And, you know, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
Yes, sir. It's an honor fighting you guys as well. And, my, Twitter and my Instagram are AvaMMA, AHVAMMA, and Facebook is AvaMai. Snapchat, AHVAAMED, and I just want to give a shout-out to all my coaches out in Nashville MMA, Lance Patrick, Sean Hammonds, Chris Beasley. I want to give a shout-out to all my teammates, all my friends, my family, my mom, and my dad. You know, they're a great support system. My little brother, he's a little killer, too. And I want to give a special shout-out to Tim Loy and everybody at Valor Fights for all the opportunities they just keep giving me. I'm going to keep continuing to grab them, and I expect to shine Saturday.
Ava Mai returns to action this Saturday night from the Monster Energy Series Bellator MMA event. It's live at the Bristol Motor Speedway. You got to come out. The tickets are 100% free. Ava, thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
We are joined by Ken Beverly, 5-2, professional mixed martial arts fighter, and he prepares to make his Bellator debut this Saturday night in Bristol at the Bristol Motor Speedway as part of the Bellator MMA Monster Energy Series. Ken, thank you so much for joining us.
I'm glad to have thank y'all for having me.
All right. Well, we'll talk a little bit about this opportunity. I know it's a, you know, it's could possibly be surreal. I know you're the newer generation. You grew up sort of seeing mixed martial arts and so forth. Did you ever believe that Bellator would come your way this quick?
No, to be honest with you, I didn't think it was going to come this fast, but, I really definitely had planned on it in the future. Cause how hard we work and stuff like that. And I'd really been, you know, waiting on it, that God was going to bless me with it.
Well, this is one of those fights when we were putting it together. There was, like I've said before, there's been several different incarnations of, you know, different, you know, potential matchups we could have done with this card, because there's so many guys that are right in that 155 wheelhouse that can make such exciting fights. But we knew that you and Gertz would be one of those that, you know, it couldn't be bad. I just can't imagine how this fight could not be good. You know, talk about how you think you guys stack up. You know, you're both really scrappy, scrambly type grapplers. Both of you come forward. Both of you have good striking. You know, where do you think where's the difference between you guys that gives you the edge?
I think I have the edge because I work harder. And I've studied videos and stuff like that on him, and Nick really is a great fighter and stuff, and I look forward to sharing the cage with him and all that. But I feel confident for this fight. I predict it's going to be a great fight, and hopefully we'll come out there. And I'm gonna come out there and put the pressure on. I'm not playing no games.
Well, Ken, of course, your brother Stone getting a big win this past Saturday night over Matthew Dodson out of Tech MMA, a very, very solid opponent. I know you guys came up together. They're just a few, you know, what is it? Is it a year and a half between you two in age?
Yeah, Stone's 18. I'm 20.
So, but you guys, if you came up together, you know, I'm sure that had to have been your primary training partner over the years. You know, talk about that. How does it feel to see your kid brother? I mean, he just burst on the scene earlier this year. How does it feel to see your kid brother doing big things? And does that inspire you?
Oh God, yeah. It definitely inspires me. It makes me feel great because, you know, all them times there since we was little, you know, training and working and, you know, we took beatings when we was little, you know, getting to growing up to do this sport and stuff like that. But, you know, now we're giving them. And I mean, we still take some, but we give some, you know. But Stone's a really great fighter, and everyone had really been looking forward to him getting to start his fight and coming out of the grappling, his grappling career, and actually getting to do this since he turned 18. And, you know, he's just on fire right now.
Well, that's great. I'll tell you what, man, I'm going to give you the opportunity to go ahead and give some shout outs officially. And of course, we need your social media plugs, anything and everything that you want to say before you head into Bellator MMA. I mean, it has to be so many emotions going into this. So you can let everybody know right now.
Well, first off, I'd really like to thank God, you know, because without him, I wouldn't be able to perform on it, you know. But, you know, without God, I wouldn't be able to do that. But I'd like to thank, you know, Tim Moy for giving me this opportunity. And I'd like to thank Casey Oxidine for, you know, for his gym and training with him up there last Saturday. And I'd like to thank my coach, Donald Neese, and my mom and my dad, and my sponsor, Altercation.
All right, Ken Beverly returns to action, and this time it is under the Bellator MMA lights. It's the Monster Energy Series live this Saturday night at the Bristol Motor Speedway. Ken, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you all.
Frankie's Body Shop Combat Strength and Conditioning, based in Knoxville, Tennessee. If you are a fighter of any discipline, and that is what you do, then you need to know this team of fitness specialists. They specialize in strength and conditioning for all combat sports athletes looking to take their game to the next level, everything from BJJ to MMA. If you think you got it all figured out, you probably don't. So get with the program. They got their start here in Knoxville through the great friends at KMAA, and they have handled the strength and conditioning for MMA stars such as Ovince St. Preux, OSP, that is, Jason King, the Asian Persuasion, and of course, Slick Nick Gertz, who makes his Bellator debut this Saturday night. Do you need to be a fighter to participate? No, you do not, but you will need the heart of one. This program is not for everybody. We push the WTF limits. We push the WTF limits. So some folks will have to sit this one out. I'm just saying. They currently have 4 certified personal trainers. That's MMA strength and conditioning coaches. Let them help you be faster and stronger with more gas in the tank. For more information, contact them at 845-474-9145. Like them. Friend them. Follow them on Facebook and Instagram at Frankie's Body Shop or FBS Combat Strength and Conditioning. Remember, it's always Fight Camp. It is main event time here on the Valor Hour. That means the official roundtable discussion for the upcoming Bellator Monster Energy Series, and that's August 19th, this Saturday night, at the Earhart Fairgrounds, Bristol Motor Speedway, making history. We're joined, of course, not only by Mark Laws and Tim Loy, but by a host of very, very knowledgeable members of this mixed martial arts community, particularly in this region and beyond. First off, we have Jeff Hobbs. Jeff has worked with virtually every major organization, mixed martial arts organization, that has come through this region, particularly in Middle Tennessee, there in Nashville. Jeff, thank you so much for joining us.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
Jimbo Collins is our next guest. And, of course, he is the president of Warrior FC and one half promoter of Border Wars. Jimbo, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
We're also joined by play-by-play commentator, official commentator for Valor Fights, and you can also hear him on Vols Radio, Vince Farrar. Vince, thanks so much.
Well, appreciate it. Boy, who doesn't belong on this list of who's who? Yeah, me. That's who doesn't belong. Appreciate you guys having me, though.
We are also joined by accomplished amateur mixed martial arts fighter David Robbins, Of course, David's name is synonymous with the Valor Fights organization, and he's very knowledgeable and a coach there at head coach at American Killer Bees in Cleveland, Tennessee. David, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thank you for having me, man. I appreciate it.
And, of course, joined by Chandler Cole, and this is a heavy – well, he's a middleweight to heavyweight mixed martial arts competitor, professional, and one of the top prospects, of course, rising out of the Valor Fights promotion. And he's also a very good DJ. You want to give him a call if you need something to be done there. The man can do it all. Chandler, thanks for joining us.
I'm a man of many traits. What can I say?
We're also joined by Master Cutman Mark Laws, of course, again, synonymous with the Valor Fights organization and beyond, some of the biggest shows in the United States, if not the world. Mark.
Hey, guys. Appreciate y'all having me on.
And finally, last but not least, the man behind the camera and those crazy shots, the double flat backflip, one of the most his most recent masterpieces. We're talking about Alan Poole. Thanks for joining us, Alan.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I'm so glad that I get to give my expertise as a photographer to these fighters.
Well, you see things like no other, like nobody else there at Cage Set. So it's fun having you there. And I'll tell you what, you've learned a lot by osmosis over the last 6 to 8 months. So let's go ahead and get into this lineup. Of course, again, it's this Saturday night. It's a big ordeal. And we're talking about a 4-bout lineup. And that's 3 professional and 1 amateur. Now, we're going to talk about our amateur 5 first, and that's a pretty big deal because you think about how many people who out there that compete in Bellator MMA, and it's a lot, a pretty substantial amount. You know, it's always a goal to strive for, but how many amateurs can say that they competed in Bellator or MMA? You really have to be selected there. And so it's a big honor for both of these young men, Preston Schick and Ava Mai. Of course, Preston is the current Valor Fights featherweight champion. And then Ava Mai, of course, has really blazed a trail through the organization as well, both at bantamweight and featherweight. So I wanted to kind of frame that for you, and I'm going to let you guys give your thoughts on this fight. Jeff, I'm going to go to you first. You're there in Nashville, of course, the home of Ava Mai. Give your take on this young man and this fight as a whole.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, this is going to be hard discussion for all these bouts. The matchmaking on this card is superb. Any one of these fights, main event, any card in Tennessee, you know, hands down. I'm just going to go flat, you know, straight to it. My pick for this one is obviously Ava, not just because, you know, he's one of my Nashville guys here. I think Ava's got the it factor. I think he is the new young, local version of Nick and Nate Diaz. The kid is technical. He's got the swagger to go along with it. He's got the skill to back it up. You know, he's a little bit of a prick, and nowadays a little bit of a prick goes a long way in this business. Doesn't have a lot of power, you know, behind his punches, but just the technical side and the precision of his punches is where he does damage. I think the power will come later. My pick for this one is Ava Mai.
Ava Mai, coming from Jeff Hobbs. Moving on, Jimbo Collins. I'm right there at Warrior FC, the president. Jimbo, let's hear your take on this bout.
When I heard about this fight, I was really excited because, you know, I've not got to see Preston Schick fight yet, but I've heard so many good things. And I did see Ava fight one time, and, man, I was really impressed with that guy. So just based on I haven't seen Preston fight yet, and I was really impressed with Ava. I'm leaning towards Ava on this one. I'm going to go with him probably late third round. I look for him to catch a submission.
All right. Jimbo Collins dials in Ava Mai. Vince, your take.
Well, certainly, Casey, you and I have been cage side for a number of fights for both of these guys, and I know you know Preston really well. And you know, we've seen Preston a little bit be in some tough situations, and a great striker. The length that he brings to the table is so impressive. Avamayi, though, he has been, I think, in more dangerous and on the brink situations, and we've seen him be able to survive. We've seen him come on the short end as well, but still battle through that. I think Avamayi is a little bit ahead in his stage of MMA than Preston Schick, but this is extremely close. And I think it in Vegas, you wouldn't get big odds one way or the other. I'm going to lean Avamayi, but I think this is a very close and well-matched up fight.
All right. Vince Ferrar picks Avamayi. Moving on to David Robbins, of course, head coach at American Killer Bees in Cleveland, Tennessee.
Now, Casey, I've been going back and forth in my head. This fight right here is the toughest one, in my opinion, to make a prediction on. Both guys, you know, great fighters. I think Ava has probably been in, you know, a little bit deeper waters, like Vince said. But Preston took out Thomas Woolley in his last fight. So going back and forth all day long, I think the reach of Preston is going to present some problems to Ava. And he's got a lot of kickboxing experience too. So I'm going to lean towards Preston and go the other way from everyone.
All right. David Robbins picks Preston Schick. Moving on. Next up, Chandler Cole, of course, the accomplished wrestler and mixed martial arts competitor for Valor Fights.
And the best looking one on this podcast. Let's make let's make that clear. You know, it's like the rest of them said, when I heard about this fight, I was like, man, all the fights, actually, I was like, man, this is hard to pick. You know, I've watched both of them fight. Preston, he's really impressed me. The more he fights, the more he grows, I feel like, which each fight he gets better and better. Ava, that kid has, he's crazy. Kid's just not right in the head. So, I'm always down with some crazy. So I'm a big Ava, cause you know, he's talented. Like, I don't know which one said it, but he does got that swagger to him, and he always comes to fight. And, you know, so does Sheik, but I think Ava's going to give him trouble. So my pick is Ava. So that's what I'm going to go with.
All right. Chandler Cole picks Avamayi. Next up, Mark Laws, Master Cutman.
Well, if I hadn't seen Preston beat Thomas Woolley the way he did, he would be the surefire pick in my mind. I mean, there's no question. Having said that, Ave is an anomaly of sorts, you know, his Kurdistan roots, and he's basically famous there. You know, he's a big deal. And I think that's going to kind of propel him a little bit. And I agree with David Robbins. I just think
all right. Mark Laws picks Avamayi, and we move on to our last panelist for picks. That's right there, Alan.
I'm sorry, I cut out there. Are you going to me now?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, guys. Okay, so
your pick.
All right, my pick's on this one. I just want to say, first off, I love both of these fighters. I respect both of these fighters. But ultimately, I'm going to have to go with Preston because of his reach. I think he's going to stick the jab. And I think that a lot of people underestimate Preston's power. I think he has real power, and he's a savage to the core. Both of these fighters are savage to the core, but I usually pick the person whose name is hard to pronounce, but this time I have to go against my philosophy and go with Preston. Ice pick Schick.
All right. Alan Poole picks Preston Schick. And of course, to close it out, we have Valor Fights president, Tim Loy. Of course, Tim, such a major part of bringing this all together, matchmaker for this event, and really helping facilitate bringing Bellator MMA to the Tri-Cities and to our region for the very first time. So it's a big deal. Real quick, Tim, give your take.
Well, you know, I'm not going to pick on these, but just to kind of set the table, this one, when they said they wanted to do one amateur fight, you know, we were thinking over the roster and which guys have really just shined as of late, and both of these guys we felt like deserve the opportunity to get this stage. And so, man, it's one that I'm really excited for, and I would really have a hard time differentiating a favorite, to tell you the honest truth. I think that, you know, on paper, Preston is the bigger guy, having fought all of his career at 45 and even maybe a little heavier at times, and with just more fights under his belt and having trained for so long and doing kickboxing even before. That said, Ava kind of has that it factor, like everyone said. You know, he's just coming along so quickly and is arguably already faced, you know, between the level of competition between the two, he's probably faced the tougher competition. So, you know, you've kind of got that experience and size and reach versus just those intangibles, that it factor that Ava brings. And so really excited for it. I really would not be able to lean either way, but I just know that both these guys are excited. Are going to really set the table for the evening and kick us off with a bang.
All right.
No, Casey.
Yes.
Casey. Yeah. If, you know, I know you said talking about if we had any kind of arguments, I almost kind of want to argue with myself for a minute though, even though Ava was my pick. Let me, you know, go on record as stating also though, where I think Ava hurts himself in his fights though, are Ava's a real slow starter. It's almost like he paces himself better for a professional fight, having 3 5-minute rounds. And that's where, when I do watch Ava fight, he's out there sometimes as if he's got all the time in the world. And in a, you know, in an amateur rules fight with, you know, the time constraints, sometimes I feel like he's kind of waited too long in the fight to start, you know, really going after it. So I think if he does that again with Preston, it could backfire because he doesn't have all that time in the world. And you don't have 5 minutes to work your ground game or work your submission. So that is a part where I think Ava could hurt himself in this bout.
Well, again, of course, you know, my pick is a given, so I'm not even, you know, really in this part of the discussion, but I will say that being the coach of Preston, it again, I see it as a very big opportunity for two amateurs. Will the two amateurs get an automatic a contract with Bellator? Well, unless they really, really shined a lot, you know, it's really hard. I don't know that either are absolutely ready to turn pro. They are on their way, though. So I think it's a big deal, and I'm very thankful as the coach for Preston to see that he gets the opportunity to face a talent like Ava Mayu. And it's something that, you know, we welcome because, you know, Preston's always wanted to be known as a guy that will fight the tough guys. And I know Ava's the same way, too, and that's why I believe they got that opportunity. So I'm very excited for it, and you know, you just come to bring your best face and fight as hard as you can for Bellator. So that's what we're looking forward to. Now, moving on to our next bout.
So our tally was 5-2.
Yes,
to two on that.
5-2. Preston down. Ava Mayu takes it 5-2 on the judges panel. So moving on. It's JSP Jonathan Pierce taking on Damir Farhat Bogovic, and that's a fight that we've really been looking forward to. Both are very stone cold in their demeanor. They toll forward. They fight hard, and there are some contrasting points to their styles. JSP, more of the traditional wrestler, where Damir is a more new age style mixed martial arts fighter. So, without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and get started. I'm going to allow Tim to frame this whole thing up. Of course, he put it together, and he can get everything started off.
You know, this was one that we have been talking about for years, really. It's a fight that a lot of people have wanted to see for a while and never really been able to put it together till now. But when they told us that, you know, the main factor is excitement here, they wanted guys that are going to put on exciting fights, we knew there was no way that Damir versus JSP we couldn't go wrong with it. There's no way this fight could suck. So many factors here. You know, both of these guys are coming off of a loss. We'll see the probably most motivated version of both of these guys that we've ever seen. Both guys come forward. You know, Damir has outstanding technical striking, good solid jiu-jitsu. JSP is a pedigreed wrestler that striking has really started to come along. Both guys have good chins. Both guys are mean, have killer instincts. It is going to be a war, no doubt.
All right. Well, without further ado, let's get some picks here. First starting out for Jeff Hobbs. Make your pick, man.
My pick for this fight, Demir. You know, it seemed like a couple of years ago, you know, East Tennessee, you had Pierce and Gertz, and these guys were coming up. And I looked at them all as like, man, these are the next, you know, group of unbeatable fighters. But it seemed like Pierce kind of fell off a little bit. I lost a couple of fights, and he lost that, you know, luster that he had on him. Yeah, Demir came off that bout, but let's get real. Demir's loss is to an absolute beast right now. I think Demir got beat just by a better fighter. That Demir doesn't have a lot of holes in his game. I don't feel he does. So I'm taking Demir on this one. I think he's just technically sound, doesn't have a lot of holes, and I just think Demir's the better fighter right now. I'm going Demir.
All right. Jeff Hobbs picks Demir Fahabegovic. Moving on, Jimbo Collins. What's your pick?
Well, I'll tell you, I think it's going to come down to, you know, whether or not Demir gets taken down and held down. I saw that guy fight once, and man, he was an animal. So, I just really liked the way he condoned himself, the way he handled himself in the cage, and I think he's a tough out for anybody. I don't know JSP. I've never seen him fight yet, but just based on what I've seen from Demir, I'm definitely going to go side with that guy. I think he's going to win this fight.
All right. Jimbo Collins takes Demir Fahabegovic. Moving on, Vince Ferrar, give us your pick.
Well, just like you guys have outlined, all of these fights are so evenly matched and so exciting and guaranteed, I think, to bring the entertainment value that you want to cash in on with those four fights. I'm going to go with Demir as well. Having that loss, I think, could very well be the ingredient that takes Demir to the next level. You know, sometimes you don't get the right test when you're just rolling and steamrolling through guys. I think having that setback and a reset for Demir and maybe advancing his ground game a little bit. And obviously with a great camp there with Shield Systems, with Scott Holtzman and Amy Coleman and that great team there, I think they will take him to the next level. And then you add additional motivation with a chip on your shoulder. I think he's got more tools in the toolbox to work with. JSP is so tough and so well-rounded, but I think Demir's upside and his motivation wins him this fight.
All right. Vince Ferrar picks Demir Fahabegovic. Moving on, David Robbins, give us your pick.
I'm going with Demir all day. Just like Vince had just mentioned, both guys are coming off losses. They're both coming in motivated, but a motivated Dahmer coming at you, that's a scary thing. I think he's going to be more technical on the feet, and he's going to just pick him apart. If he does get taken down, he has slick jiu-jitsu. Not a lot of people talk about, so I could see him catching something off his back, too. But I'm going with Demir, wherever it goes.
All right. David Robbins picks Demir as well. Moving on, Chandler Cole.
I really, really want to be biased right now because I'm a wrestler. But my mind is telling me that if any of y'all put money up, that I wouldn't go with JSP. So my pick is Demir. I've seen him fight. He's had no such thing as an easy fight. So I'm just going to – my pick is Demir, and I'm going to leave it at that.
All right. Chandler Cole picks Demir for Fahabegovic. And we move on. Mark Laws.
What puts me obviously in the spotlight with me being in JSP's corner, there's no doubt Dahmer's a savage. Dahmer, when he comes out, he's coming to kill. And but I have faith in JSP, and I think that, you know, even though he's coming off a loss, same as Dahmer, I just think that we get the job done, man. And love both these guys. I've probably worked almost every fight of both of their careers, pro and amateur. So it's a big deal to get to perform under these big lights, man. And I'm just happy for both these guys. And either way, it's going to be a great night of fights. I'm looking forward to it, but I got to go with JSP.
All right. Mark Laws picks JSP. Our final analyst here, Alan Poole. What's your pick?
Yeah, I forgot to mention that never go with Mark Law's picks. As for this one as well, I'm going with Dummy. I can't pronounce his last name, and that's another reason why I'm picking Demir. He has got ice flowing through his veins. Like I'm telling you, it's eerie when he steps up and he does these stare downs or when he's going into the ring. It's creepy. I'm much more familiar with him. I've seen him train. I've seen what he does to his sparring partners. I talked with Ben Harrison, his coach there at Shield. And, you know, he's saying the reason why Demir lost to Pena was because he did the one thing that he wasn't supposed to do. And I don't see him making that mistake twice. So I'm going with Demir Furhats and Baloney, whoever you say his last name.
Uh-oh. All right, Alan Poole picks Demir Fahabegovic. And that leaves it at 6-1 in favor of Demir over JSP here with the roundtable discussion. My take on the fight is that it's going to be it's one where you see two bulls colliding head-to-head. And they're very contrasting, as I mentioned. Of course, JSP has that traditional wrestling background. When we first started seeing him in action, a lot of suplexes, a lot of crazy transitions and that kind of stuff. He has improved tremendously in his striking. In his last bout there at Shogun Fights, it was really a battle, a tough war, and a testament to his ability. He is on that 3-fight losing streak. That's a tough one. But at the same time, every loss has been to a very solid opponent. And often he, you know, in the first two, he got caught both times by submission. That last time, it was a war. Demir is, you know, he has been such a mainstay with Valor Fights, you know, starting as an amateur and moving on into the pros. And a guy who has so much horsepower and is pedigreed with what, you know, kind of the next generation of the Scott Holtzman. And so he has definitely, you know, come to shine, and he's a remarkable talent. I think this matchup, though, is two very, very headstrong individuals, and I think both of them, that, you know, you look at in their eyes, and one of them is Pinhead from Hellraiser, and the other one is Michael Myers. And so when you've got that kind of look there, and they're facing off, and they and everything is cold in their blood, that makes for beauty in mixed martial arts. So that being said, let's move on. Our next bout is the co-main event, and it features Slick Nick Gertz and Ken Beverly. Of course, Gertz out of KMAA. He makes his Bellator debut. This is a guy that is known as a mixed martial arts artist, a guy who is, you know, it will hit the footlocks and will pull the guard on occasion, but it can also knock you out, has a very well-rounded game. Ken Beverly is a bull. He is all about momentum and tolling forward and putting pressure on, and we saw that in his win over Stephen Hag back at Border Wars, and that was one heck of a fight. So let's, without further ado, let's get on with it. Tim?
You know, this is another one that we knew it was going to be a great pace set by both of these guys that both come forward. They're both very aggressive, both very good in the scrambles, both, you know, exciting strikers. So we know that this is going to be a good fight. Again, I would think that Haig going into the last fight against Beverly was, in my opinion, I thought he was a pretty strong favorite on paper with his jiu-jitsu skills, but Ken absolutely had every answer for him. And so after seeing that, I know now that you can't count those Beverly boys out. Of course, Gertz has won every possible way that you can think of, from flying knee knockouts to, you know, calf slicers to just everything you can think of. He goes for it. So it's going to be dangerous everywhere. And I think no matter what, we get an exciting fight.
All right. Well, let's keep moving on. First up, Jeff Hobbs, give your take.
Yeah, well, like you said, Border Wars was the first time I was introduced to Beverly. And like Tim said, I, you know,
The night wasn't really going Valor's way, but I looked at that main event and I thought, ah, well, at least we got this one in the bag. We'll end the show on a Valor win. And I was absolutely impressed with Beverly that night. Stephen Haig could not figure out that puzzle. Beverly was a step ahead of him, you know, all night long, brought pressure all night, and that was impressive. But, you know, Gertz is like I was saying earlier, you know, Gertz was coming up here a couple of years ago, and I looked at him as this unbeatable kind of new kid, and he's really panned out. I, you know, to be 100% honest with you, I wasn't real, you know, turned on by his last fight. You know, I guess it was Latrell Purdue. I was a little turned off on that matchup itself. I understand that, you know, sometimes you just got to take the opponent that's there if you're wanting to compete. I felt that he was kind of beyond that matchup, but, you know, he still wanted to put on a show. I know, you know, things happen, opponents fall through, but I would have liked to seen him, you know, fight somebody a little tougher, and I think he's about to get that fight now. But I've still got to go with Nick Gertz. You know, his nickname is Slick for a reason. I mean, we watched the guy call out his submissions almost, you know, and play with opponents before in the past. And I think he's got too much moxie. He's you know, dangerous on the ground. He's got a great team behind him, great coach. I think Gertz takes this one.
All right, Jeff Hobbs, he picks Nick Gertz. Moving on, Jimbo Collins. Do I even need to have to ask?
Well, I'll tell you what, Casey. I've probably got 50 or 60 messages this week asking me what, you know, WTF is Beverly thinking, taking this fight. And, you know, and I, each and every one of them, I say, you sent me the same exact message before Border Wars when he was fighting Haig. So, you know, I've heard it before, and I was going to tell you, Beverly will be well prepared. He will be in shape to, he can fight for an hour. You know, he's not been submitted. So I don't really see him getting caught. I know Gertz is slick, and I've heard so much about his jiu-jitsu, and comes from a phenomenal team. And, you know, I got all the respect in the world for them and their team and everything. But, man, there's just some, I think Beverly has that it factor. And I think, you know, he's a rising star. And, you know, I think it's probably going to be a thing where Beverly's going to have to escape some really nasty situations. I think he will. And, you know, generally when you escape a nasty situation, you come out in a really good situation. So I look for Beverly to score a lot and win a unanimous decision.
All right. Jimbo Collins picks Ken Beverly. Moving on, Vince, give us your pick.
Well, much like you guys, really impressed with Ken Beverly at Border Wars. You know, I was like everybody else who's really familiar with Haig, and you thought that he was going to get the win, and Beverly was just relentless, strong will, just kept coming and coming. He's beaten Nick Baker before, and just really impressive. And so he's going to be game, and I'm sure ready, as Jimbo mentioned. But I'm going to go with Nick Gertz, and he's one of the better personalities we have at Valor Fights. Love the fact that he got that number 7 ranking in the Flow Combat lightweight national rankings, which is a really cool thing. And I think he just has more ways to win. It, you know, Tim mentioned the flying knees, the calf slicer, and he can do many other things and be smiling right smack in the middle of it. So he's just, I think he's got huge upside, and I think he'll be ready. And I think he might have a little bit more game than what Ken Beverly even saw with Stephen Haig. So I like Slick Nick Gertz.
All right, Vince Ferrar picks Slick Nick Gertz. And moving on, David Robbins, let's hear your take.
Yeah, I think Vince is pretty much saying everything ahead of me. We have the same thoughts on a lot of this. Beverly at Border Wars had kind of took me by surprise. I didn't think too much of him. I kind of thought that Steven was going to run through him. And to see him get that win, he really impressed me. But Nick trains with world-class fighters every single day, and I think that he's gonna present a whole lot more problems than Haig did to him. He's a lot better stand-up. a little more well-rounded everywhere else, and that's how I think he's going to finish.
All right, David Robbins picks.
I am going with Nick.
Nick Gertz, absolutely. All right, moving on. Chandler Cole, you're picking this one.
What's up? Nah, I'm just kidding. I haven't got to watch a lot of Ken Beverly fight. You know, I keep up with him on Facebook. He's my friend and stuff on Facebook. But I've watched a lot of Nick Gertz, and, you know, he's very talented. They don't call him Slick for no reason. You know, he has all right stand-up. He has great jiu-jitsu. And I would feel crazy putting my money against him. So I'm going to go with Nick Gertz. That's my pick.
All right. Chandler Cole picks Nick Gertz. Moving on, Mark Laws.
For the record, his nickname is no longer Slick. It is Sexy Hurts. Just so everybody knows, Sexy Hurts, Nick Gertz. Okay. That's all you need to know. That's who's getting it done. Ken Beverly. It's time. And, yeah, Slick Nick, he is super motivated. I spoke to him last weekend, and he is in great shape and looking very forward to this opportunity, as he should be.
Okay. So Slick Nick. Okay. Fair enough. All right, we've got one more, and again, is there any reason to ask, Alan?
Well, I would like to say first off, how come nobody helped me break those two up when they started playing like they were wrestling in the cage? I about had a heart attack there. I thought I was going to like have to break those two monsters up. Like I could do anything versus any of them, right? Let alone two of them. Well, anyways, I've got nothing but respect for the Beverly boys. They come out to bang. They have their own little slickness too. You know, they're over there at the Viper Pit. They've got their own moves. I love Stone Beverly. I'm not as familiar with his brother that's fighting here, but I am with Nick Gertz, and I know what he does to sparring partners that come in from all over the world, and he makes them look stupid. So I've seen him do it to guys 2-3 times his size. Most importantly, I think this is going to be the fight of the night. I really do. I think that this is going to be a flashy fight. This is going to be one that everybody's going to want to, like, don't blink. You're going to see something cool. You'll probably see something that you've never seen before, maybe a slick submission or flying knees, or you never know what's going to happen with either of these boys. They're extremely athletic. It's going to be fun either way, but I'm going with my man Nick Gertz.
All right. Alan Poole closes it out with another vote for Slick Nick Gertz, or what is it?
Sexy Hurts.
6-1 for Nick Gertz over Ken Beverly. Moving on to our main event, and this is one it's highly anticipated. It's going to have a lot of opinions, I'm sure. Of course, Ben Sargent, he's a guy that's been around for a long time, more than a decade, and has an unblemished 7-0 record. And, of course, he returned against Steve Bell earlier this year. He got the win up there at Border Wars. But before then, had spent quite an extensive period of time, on the shelf. He looked great in his return. Now he returns to make a big deal out of this main event here in Bellator. He faces Brandon Bell, who, of course, we spoke with earlier tonight. And this guy he's really come on later in his career. You know, he started and is kind of a preliminary top fighter, you know, a regional top fighter. And he has built himself up. He's cross-trained. And he's done what he needed to do. And, of course, he takes care of his body. Very, very strong individual. Very excited for this matchup. Without further ado, Tim Loy, talk about the main event.
Oh, wow, yeah. You know, this is kind of a Kentucky fan's dream, as we've been saying. And I think that both of these guys are very excited to have the opportunity to main event here. It's been said already that the winner of this main event would be in a very good position to potentially get a multi-fight deal with Bellator. So, you know, it's very, very much a style clash. You know, I think you look on paper and Ben looks like a massive favorite, being 7-0. Bell's record, not as shiny, but with a lot of fights versus a lot of very tough guys. He's already been in the fire. Ben has not faced near the level of competition. That said, Ben is training with great guys. He's been training with a lot of different, you know, really solid people over the past year or so. Looks like he's in great shape. And I think he is the more well-rounded fighter. But Bell, you know, they say styles make fights. And Bell is just such a, you know, his nickname's fitting, the juggernaut. He's so strong and, you know, and has gotten, his skills have improved so much over the past couple of years as well. You know, the cliche, styles make fights. Will Ben be able to stay off his back with, and, you know, or will he be able to catch, you know, Bell standing? I think, you know, Ben's probably the better striker, the better jiu-jitsu guy, but Bell's wrestling and strength could completely negate that. So, you know, I have no idea.
All right. Without further ado, let's get to this panel discussion and get some picks. First up, Jeff Hobbs.
Yeah. Man, Ben Sargent. you know, Ben is one of those guys that, you know, everybody's laughing because everybody's on the same page when you say Ben Sargent. You don't know whether you hate the guy or you love him. And it's a fine line there. Sometimes I think, man, get Ben away from me. And then sometimes he makes me laugh harder than anybody else can. But I mean, the guy needs to be on medication, I think. But here's the thing with Ben, when that cage door shuts, Ben is all business. All that joking, you know, goes out the window. Crazy Ben Sargent leaves the building. And he turns it on when the cage door shuts. And this fight actually reminds me a lot of when I first met Ben Sargent back in like 2008, 2009. And I'll never forget it. He was a young start out amateur. And we had a show at the Municipal Auditorium, which in Nashville, that was a big deal back then, to be able to get the Municipal Auditorium. And he was on the undercard of a pro-am and took on Wesley Sullivan. And Wesley Sullivan, kind of in the same, you know, mold as Bell, just strong, kind of a bull, just a bully in the cage. Wesley Sullivan beat the tar out of Ben Sargent for 2 3/4 rounds. Ben was a bloody mess, face just disfigured, but the guy's got no quit in him whatsoever, and he's not going to stop fighting until that final bell rings. And I can't remember how he ended up on his back right there before the bell sounded, but I believe it was just to another knockdown. And next thing you know, the fight's over and the fight's getting waved off because Ben Sargent has pulled out like a triangle on this guy who's on top of him, beating the hell out of him. And Ben Sargent comes away with the win. And that has stuck with me forever. And every time I see Ben, we talk about that fight. And it's gone a long way with me. And that kind of sums up Ben Sargent to me. You know, I think he's been real smart about his career. Like Casey was saying, he'll take some long layoffs. He'll have maybe a kind of a semi-hard fight. And then when he's in line for maybe that big, tough fight, he'll take some more time off. He's had some unfortunate injuries. And you just never know if Ben has reached his potential or not. Or if maybe he's peaked or not, because he's had such long layoffs. So I do agree with what Tim said. I don't think his level of competition is where Bell's is, but when the cage door shuts, Ben's got that it factor. And I'm going to go with Ben Sargent on this one.
All right, Jeff Hobbs picks Ben Sargent. Moving on, Jambo, again, another one. Do I have to even ask?
Hey, listen, I don't know if you guys know the history between these two guys. Like, you know, we signed this fight in Warrior a couple of years ago, and, you know, we had some unfortunate stuff come up, and, you know, Ben couldn't fight, and, man, it's just been pure hatred between them ever since. And, you know, Bell's been after me, you know, to get this fight somewhere, somehow, and, man, he's hungry for Ben. I'm telling you right now, I don't think there's anybody on the face of the earth he'd rather fight. You know, he's been motivated. You know, I mean, it got, you know how Ben is, you know, I mean, he's halfway kidding most of the time, but he's one of the most offensive guys you'll ever meet.
You know, I was about to say, Jimbo, isn't this common though of every opponent that Ben has? They end up hating him, and it gets heated.
Yeah, it might be, but you know, every guy he fights ain't from the hills of Harlan, and you know, you talk about somebody's family the way he does, and I'm telling you, it's going to get real nasty. And Bell has fought some of the best guys in the region, if not in the United States. You know, you look down his record and see who he's fought. I mean, he's been in there with Dustin Walden, Scott Hope, John Cook, Taylor Ruskin, Matt Metz, Nathan Maness. I mean, and Jason King recently, you know, he dominated King. And I really, you know, I like Ben. And, you know, we've talked a lot. And you know, I get what he's doing with his career and the way he, you know, he sells fights, man, and he's good at it. But, man, I just look for Bell to I don't see a way that Bell can lose this fight. I don't think Ben can hurt him standing up. I know Ben's a really good striker and really powerful, but you know, Bell takes him, man. I mean, I've never seen him get really hurt with a punch or a kick. I mean, I've seen many people test his chin, test his jaw, test his forehead. I mean, after the Maness fight, he had, you know, 50 knots on his head, as big as a fist. I mean, this guy is as tough as a bull. And I think Bell will grind Ben down, punish him for the duration of the fight. It's going to be, you know, ground and pound. And I look for Bell to dominate, you know, unanimous decision.
All right, Jimbo Collins picks Brandon Bell. Now, I'll say this. You guys on the roundtable, you didn't have the opportunity to listen yet to our interview with Brandon. So, you know, he had a few choice words to say. Jimbo, you're talking about being offensive.
I figured he would.
Yeah. He had some words. In fact, he had more words than Ben did this time. He was, you know, and very emotionally charged. So you guys will have to go back and listen to it. Of course, all the listeners at home have already heard it. Moving on, Vince Farrar, make your pick.
Boy, this is interesting and great stuff from Jimbo there with the background with these two. That does add a different element to it, and both Kentucky guys and how they've gone to get after each other. But look, that social media warfare and the battle of words going into fights, that's a regular thing for Ben. I don't think he takes that emotion and that energy in there and has it impact his fights. And maybe this is a different level of anger and energy towards that Bell will bring in. So that may be uncharted territory for Bell. He obviously brings a lot to the table. He's fought in the bantamweight division, middleweight division, and now in this welterweight main event, been a champ there at Warrior FC. Was a bodybuilder, powerlifting champ, you know, can submit you, can, you know, win on strikes. I mean, he's earned, like you guys mentioned, that nickname of the juggernaut. But I think I love a focused Ben Sargent. When he's taking time, when he's not been 100% and into it and waited till the mind was right, the juices were flowing to take that next fight, I think he's shown when he's motivated, he can continue to get better, get in great shape, and be a beast in there. Undefeated, obviously. Yes, he doesn't have maybe the fights and the tough competition that Bell has had, but I think Ben Sargent, a focused Ben Sargent, has tremendous upside, and I think I don't think anyone has a bigger opportunity on this card than Ben Sargent, because as you mentioned, there's a chance he could get a multi-fight deal. Ben Sargent will be, if he wins this main event, will be the winner of the main event, will be undefeated, and will have the personality to be able to be a huge draw for Bellator and sell future fights. There's so much on the table, and as David probably knows, Ben Sargent is well aware of it and motivated. I think we'll see the best Ben Sargent. I like him to win.
All right, Vince Farrar picks Ben Sargent. Moving on, David Robbins, a man that's trained alongside Ben Sargent for a good bit of time. David, give your pick here.
I spent a lot of time in the gym with Ben. I know everywhere he's strong at, everywhere he's weak at, and I'll tell you, I think that when the cage door shuts and Ben is in there, he's going to bring intensity. to Brandon that he's not going to be used to. Ben is very, very heavy-handed, and he has a very solid chin. I've seen him take hard punches, you know, from lots of different guys, myself and Sid and Billy, and it doesn't even faze him. Brandon is strong. He's fought tons of great opponents. I don't see him muscling around Ben too much, though. Ben is a lot stronger than he looks. When he grabs a hold of you, everything is very solid. His positioning is solid. And if Brandon does get a takedown on Ben, Ben is slick off his back, and I think he'll surprise you and catch him with something. So I'm picking Ben.
All right, David Robbins picks Ben Sargent as well. Moving on, Chandler Cole, your pick.
I've actually got the chance to grapple Brandon. And the strength that he possesses is unreal. But with that being said, I've seen y'all call him Ben, I call him Willis. But I've seen Willis train. And, you know, he helped me for my second fight, get ready for that. And just the workout that he does is crazy. And, you know, I saw a picture of him the other day. The dude's leaned up. He's really looking in, you know, top-notch shape. You know, earlier this week I was asked this, and I was like, man, you know, I think Brandon has it. But now that I've gave it some more thought, I just know how hard Ben works in the gym. And, you know, the tools that he does have, I feel like it will be good enough to beat Brandon. So I'm going to have to go with my good old buddy Willis. So that's,
all right.
That's my pick. I go with Willis.
Chandler Cole picks Willis. Ben Sargent, if you will. Moving on, Mark Laws.
Yeah, I got a pun. I'm mulligan on this one, guys. I'm probably working both corners on this one. But, you know, the strength of Bell is he is so durable. It's so good, man. And, you know, for Ben to come in there still undefeated is a huge feat. And if he walks out of there undefeated after Saturday, I look for him to do big things for sure. So I'm going neutral.
All right, neutral for Mark Laws. Our final roundtable analyst, Alan Poole.
I'll vote for it. I'll just say Mark picks what I picked so I can help him out with his picks here. You know, as goofy as Ben Sargent is, to me, like the deciding factor is what Ferrari was saying is Ben focused or not? And I've been talking with him. He is focused. He is training hard. He's ripped. And one thing I think he doesn't get credit for is he's good at coming up with game plans. You know, he's good at strategy. I mean, believe it or not, he's smart. I mean, I didn't see it coming either, but he actually – when I talk MMA with him, I can tell he knows so much more than I do. And I just, you know, play along like I know what he's saying. But I've seen him put together some good strategies for fighters. He's a great trainer. Anyways, I'm going with Ben Sargent.
All right. Alan Poole picks Ben Sargent to close out our main event. That leaves us at a 5-1 advantage for Ben Sargent from our roundtable analyst. Now, of course, that is only a prediction. We never know until we actually get in there. It's going to be a crazy lineup, but all of these guys very knowledgeable in the backgrounds of all these people, and I think it's going to be great. Very excited to have had the opportunity to speak with everyone here all in the same discussion. Rarely do we ever get that. I'm going to turn it over to Tim to give a final overview of the event and then get ready to come out August 19th.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, it goes down this Saturday at the Earhart Campground at Bristol Motor Speedway. It'll be at the Fan Zone put on by Monster Energy. There'll be lots of other entertainment going on there, you know, like motocross and concerts, things like that. And, you know, it's free. It doesn't cost anything to get in. All four of these fights are really badass fights. So if you're a fan in this region and you can make the ride to Bristol, it'll be well worth it to check out this show and support these guys on a big stage. So We're really pumped for it. We're pumped for all four of these fights. I'm excited for all eight of the fighters for the opportunity. And I think it's going to be good. Hopefully everybody makes it out and checks it out. It's going to be a kind of an abbreviated show, you know, with only four fights. But I promise all of them should deliver.
All right. That does it for the official roundtable discussion for the Monster Energy Series Bellator MMA. Live at the Bristol Motor Speedway, and also another episode of the Valor Hour. Remember, join us next week and each week for more discussion on the biggest news in combat sports from across the world. Please remember to share this broadcast and subscribe at Apple Podcasts and Stitcher. We appreciate all the likes, but we need your shares and subscriptions. For myself and Valor Fights President Tim Loy, thanks so much for listening, and join us next week for another episode of The Valor Hour.
For more information on upcoming events, visit ValorFights.com or find them at Valor Fights on both Facebook and Twitter. This has been The Valor Hour. Powered by the law offices of Ogle, Elrod, and Beryl on Radio Influence.
Chris Landry inviting you to join me for Landry Football Podcast every Tuesday and Thursday. We'll give you the coaching and scouting angle to the college and NFL game. Film breakdowns, scouting reports, X's and O's, the latest inside scoop, coaching search information. We've got it all for you. I'll take my experiences as a coach and a scout and bring it to you, the fan, to give you access to the best football information on the college and pro level. Join us at LandryFootball.com and remember the Landry Football Podcast right here, as well as Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.